It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wolf Packer Show. My name's Ethan McDowell, and I am here with Noah Fleischman. It is another historic episode of this show because the Wolfpack is moving on once again to the Final Four. Noah, both the women's and men's basketball teams are headed to the national semifinals in Phoenix and Cleveland this week. I couldn't be more excited. I know you're over the moon about all of this. Noah has spent this past week in Dallas. I was at the celebrations when both teams got back last night. We have a bunch of stories we want to tell you all. We want to talk about our thoughts on this weekend's games. But before we do that, quick housekeeping note. We're both reporters for thewolfpacker.com. That is NC State's site on the On3 network, the fastest growing college sports site out there. Go check it out. There's plenty of team analysis, some stories that you're not going to find anywhere else on these men's and women's basketball teams' runs to the Final Four. So go check it out. It's only $1 to join for access to all of our premium content, and there's always free content up on the site as well. So go check it out. Only $1. It doesn't get better than that right now. All right, Noah, let's dive right in. You are in a hotel room in Dallas. You probably did not expect to be in a hotel room in Dallas about a month or two ago. So how are you feeling, man? How does it feel to be covering a Final Four team in your first year on this beat?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you don't really expect it, especially the way that, I mean, we've beaten this dead horse a million times, but they lost 10 of 14 coming in to the postseason. Didn't look like this was possible. But NC State has won 9 in a row since, including beating Duke for the second time in this month. They've played Duke 3 times in this month. They beat them twice. First time they beat them back-to-back meetings since 1995. So there you go for your little knowledge there. And NC State's in the Final Four. They bring home a trophy last night, and get ready to go to Phoenix a couple days.
Yep, the Pack is collecting nets at this point. They win the South Regional, and they obviously have the ACC trophy, and now they have a chance to, enshrine themselves in, NC State in college basketball history. Even they're already in the NC State record books. This team's never going to be forgotten. This is just an unreal run, a special run that they've had doubters throughout it. They've had skeptics who, they thought the season was over at halftime against Louisville. They thought, they'd lose to Duke or lose to Virginia, lose to UNC. But that never happened. They just kept winning, and they've done just playing at a super high level. They're dominating at this point. They come in, and it's not like it doesn't feel like a Cinderella story to me, Noah, because they're playing so much better than their opponents in most of these games. And, of course, after the last time we spoke is when they defeated Oakland. And since then, they took down number 2 seed Marquette, 67-58. I thought that was just a really, really impressive defensive performance. And then they turn in an even better defensive performance against Duke. So, Noah, I know you've written about the defense. You've written about defensive improvement. When you've talked to the players, when you've talked to the coaches, where is this defensive – where did this jump come from? I know some of it's just March magic, but a lot of it, I based on what you've reported and written, like this was concerted changes and, a focus in particular areas that led to this run, that led to this jump. So just give the listeners some insight into how this all came together.
Yeah, I'll give two reasons. One – they've really focused on just playing in the half court. They were pressing a lot during the regular season, something Kevin Keats likes to do, create chaos and get out and run. But they decided to just sit back in the half court and lock down, play defense there, and they've been doing a really, really good job at that. And the other part is DJ Burns has played really good defense in the NCAA tournament and even the ACC tournament. The problem during the regular season was he couldn't really guard a ball screen. So teams would do it, switch on to him, and then have a speedy guard just go around him. Now – he's been able to keep up a little bit keep his footwork going, stay in front until the other guard comes to help and then get, you know, rescue him from that. And it's worked. I mean, Duke tried to put him in ball screens last night, and he was able to basically stay and keep his ground and not allow it to happen. So I think those two things are really, really big. And NC State, you talk about defense. They held Duke to 32.2% shooting from the field last night. That's the best that NC State's done all year. This team is getting better as they play basketball, which is crazy to think about. This isn't like a team. You look back at the 83 team and what they did, you know, make their run. They do that when they get Derek Wittenberg back from injury. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nobody coming back from injury. They're just playing better basketball at the right time. And it really speaks to the coaching job that Kevin Keats and his assistants have done to get this team clicking at the right time. And boy, if they played like this all year, it could be like they would have been like a top 15 team in the country. But and now they're a top 4 team in the country because there are only 4 teams left.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they're staring down a matchup with Purdue. It is a matchup against one of the most well-known big men in the country in Zach Edey, 7'4" post player for them, matched up against DJ Burns, who at this point, man, is America's sweetheart. He is getting every NIL deal. He is getting, you know, every national podcast, TV appearance ever, because America has fallen in love with DJ Burns for all the same reasons that, you know, we've enjoyed covering him. Just such a nice guy and such a fun player to watch. He had a couple spin moves in the post, Noah, against Duke, where I mean, I've been watching him for 2 years at this point, and my jaw dropped. He's playing his best basketball since he arrived at NC State right now. It's just wild how many guys are peaking right now. Like, and that's a credit to the staff, right? They're getting these guys prepared, getting them ready to go. Credit to the strength and conditioning staff for just having the whole team ready to rattle off these wins one after another with just so little time to recover in between. Noah, I know we've talked about DJ, both DJs. Obviously, I think, you know, Casey Morsell, Michael O'Connell, Mo Diarra, all playing at a super high level right now. I want you to highlight for us some – it can be a storyline about one of those guys or someone else, about an underrated storyline. If you have a good story about it from this weekend, that'd be great. But just an underrated storyline about how the Pack got here – and how his history is being made before our eyes right now in Raleigh.
Yeah, I wrote about it, you know, came out a story today on the website, wrote about it last night, put it up this morning. You know, Casey Morsell is an interesting guy. He's the longest tenured starter on this team. He started the last 2 years. He has been on the team for 3 years, which is the longest of any, tied for the longest with Ernest Ross and Breon Pass for the longest on the team. But he's the only one that plays consistently of the three. And the wild part is he was on this team when they were 11-21 2 years ago. 11-21, 4-16 in the ACC. Not great. Worst, most losses in program history. And the way he described it last night, you know, he was really, really happy, beaming, because he's been on the opposite of this. He'd been through a team that lost almost every game it played, or felt like, at least probably from their point of view. And it probably felt like they were going back into that same mode down the stretch of the regular season, but they were able to turn it around. And he talked about being back, you know, and being part of NC State legacy now. And this is a team that will be remembered like the 83 and 74 teams are.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, he's excited. And it's a really cool path for him. And I talked to his dad and talked to Kareem Richardson, assistant coach, about it. But, like, the journey that he's taken to get to this point is really crazy. From Virginia, where he didn't really find a fit there. Seemed like things weren't going to go great at NC State his first year, but he stuck with it. And, you know, there was chances for him to leave. Portal's open. You can go whenever you want at this point. He stuck it out, and he was rewarded with a Final Four trip. And, man, I don't think he could be more excited than that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at both the men's and women's teams, and I think you can say they stuck it out as just – that kind of sums up both of these runs. I mean, there's so many players that fought through so much adversity to get to this point when it is so easy in college basketball and college sports in general right now that, you know, if you want to go find a new situation, you can. It's easier than ever right now. There's no rules. surrounding it. But so many members of both pack squads stuck around. You can tell talking to the coaches that just means so much to them. When you maybe don't get the chance all the time to get, you know, two seasons with a guy like Casey Morcell, and or three seasons with Casey Morcell, and, you know, multiple seasons with DJ Burns. And you can tell, I think that means a lot to the staffs. And heck, it sure means a lot to Wolfpack Nation. I mean, how cool has it been, dude, to see the euphoria of this fan base over the past few weeks now? It's almost like been like a month long party at the Bell Tower. I mean, yesterday it was mobbed there. It was so cool to see. Really, the second the games ended, everyone spilled out onto Hillsborough, and yeah, it was pretty cool to watch, man. But yeah, I wanted to ask about the environment in Dallas. What was like I saw Dave Dorn was there. I know there was tons of Pack fans there. What was like the atmosphere like? Because that was a ways for fans to travel.
Seemed like a lot of people got on planes on Saturday, because Friday's game, decent number of NC State fans, but nowhere near what we saw yesterday. They were loud. It was rocking. You know, there weren't many neutral fans in the attendance like you have in previous games where there's another game being played, you know, before or after. Those fans stick around because those fans picked NC State on Friday against Marquette. So they had Houston fans and Duke fans even rooting for them, because you'd rather play NC State than a team like Marquette.
That's what they
thought. Didn't work out for Duke, but yeah, I think they played really, really well, and the crowd really helped them. They fed off of it. At one point, there was a pretty bad call. Kevin Keats got a tech for no reason. And all of a sudden, a chant starts, and it was, "Ref, you suck." Pretty loud chant. Felt like we were in Raleigh. DJ Burns standing, game's about to resume, and he's giving them one of this, like, "Keep it going, keep it coming." They were feeding off the energy. You talk about Dave Dorn was there. A bunch of former players in attendance. You know, even Mike Glennon was there sitting with Dave Dorn. So, you know, there's a bunch more that I'm sure that were around that we didn't even notice, didn't see. But everyone was there and happy. And the crowd really, really fed it, you know, made this team work. Because NC State was down 6 to the half, their biggest deficit at halftime in this postseason run. Then they outscored Duke by a healthy margin in the second half to pull away with the win. And the crowd was a big factor in that. And then afterwards, obviously, the boys got to celebrate with a lot of red in the crowd, which I'm sure they enjoyed. And before they headed back to Raleigh to come meet more red in the crowd outside the Dale.
So I got to watch like the second half of the men's game, because I was covering the women's game and had to do press conferences and all of that. But, you know, I was pretty confident going into the game. Like, I thought they had a pretty good shot. I thought just the way they dominated that second half. I mean, dude, 55 points in the second half. They couldn't miss. And like in the last 10 minutes, they were getting every look they wanted. They could not stop DJ Burns. And it was very impressive game. Michael O'Connell leads the team in rebounds. That's one of those like just, you know, statistical performances that jumps out. But it's one of those that you need when you know, when the going gets tough at this stage. 11 rebounds and 6 assists, and six points, but all the shots he hit seemed like these like massive like momentum turning shots. So
man, I joked about it with him on the court after we were standing there just waiting for the net ceremony, and I looked at him, I was like, "What got into you?" And he was basically just really excited, and he was like, "I don't care if I have to hit one shot and grab a million rebounds." He goes, "I'm down to do it." And that's what he did. He enjoys doing anything he can to help this team. This is a guy who's at Stanford the past 3 years, finally getting to be on the biggest stage in college basketball. And he's been a very, very key piece. I think every guy, you could make an argument that every single player has been a key piece of this roster, down to the walk-ons, because those guys are bringing the energy in the locker room. When you're in the locker room before the game or after the game the day before, those dudes are just loose. And I think that just helps keep the rest of the team loose and chill and good. So you can make the argument everyone has been integral, but Michael O'Connell and what he has done, man, if he doesn't hit the three against Virginia, we're not even talking about this. And or if he doesn't hit the layup against Oakland and one, give him the lead that Oakland later tied on, we're not talking about this. So Michael O'Connell's been clutch. And NC State fans, don't get too bummed, because he's coming back next year too. So he's got one more year, and I think he is going to be excited to use it.
Yeah, at this point, you kind of look to next year, and we'll wait till after the season to dive into what this run means for the program's future. But it's a heck of a lot brighter than a month ago, I'll tell you that much. I think we're going to see it impacted in portal recruiting. I'm not really sure like how much they're going to have to hit the portal this offseason, but we'll see how that goes. Obviously, you're bringing in Paul McNeil as a freshman. He's someone that Pack fans, if you're not familiar with him yet, go Google Paul McNeil Jr. because he is one heck of a player, and he's going to be really exciting, as well as Trey Parker as well. So future's bright. We're going to really dive into it after the season. But before we do that, Noah, before we switch gears to the women's team, initial thoughts on Purdue. Obviously, top-seeded team, has arguably the best player in the country in Zach Edey. So initial thoughts on that matchup, how you see the Pack faring. We'll get into this later in the week more in depth, but just your surface-level thoughts on Purdue.
It's going to be what yesterday's game came down to, guard play, because you know the bigs are going to do their thing. You know Kyle Filipowski yesterday was probably going to do something. He didn't have too big of an impact in the game, but Zach Edey will. And it's going to come down to letting him score and not letting anyone else. I think that's what it's going down to at this point. You can't really stop him. You can try to slow him down. You're not going to keep him scoreless. You know that's a fact. It just comes down to, can you stop the guards that they have around him? Because they're a really, really good team outside the perimeter too. So it'll be really, really important to run them off the line and see the battle between DJ Burns and Zach Edey, which is already being advertised by CBS. You know they gave him that first window in the Final Four for a reason, because it's going to get great ratings. It's going to be two of the best big men in college basketball going up against each other. I can't wait for it.
It's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it too. And you know, it's just the it's just one of the matchups that we're going to get to enjoy this week, because of course the women's team also advanced to the national semifinal. Before we get into that, a quick thank you to our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace. Whether you're looking for, I don't know, Noah, Final Four tickets, or tickets to a concert, a comedy show, a Hurricanes game, whatever you're looking for, Game Time has it for good prices. And you know, my favorite thing about it is two things, Noah. You can buy tickets up to the last minute. I love that about them. And then also, when you get on the app, which is available on any app store, you can see the view from your seat. So it takes a step out of the ticket buying process. You get on their app. I'll hold it up for those watching on YouTube. You can see the view from your seat if you were there for this Hurricanes game in PNC Arena. So go check it out. Game Time is available on all of the app stores and on your web browser at gametime.co. If you do go check it out, use code WOLFPACK when you purchase your tickets, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase. So it's a good deal, you know, good value on there, and go check it out. The Game Time app or gametime.co on your web browser. All right, Noah, let's talk Wolfpack women's basketball. NC State hit the road for Portland after winning the Raleigh Regional for a Sweet 16 matchup against Stanford. The Cardinal, you know, one of the best teams in the country. Any team you're going to play at this stage is. And they rose to the task again. You're picking up a big win, and you're battling through foul trouble, battling through multiple runs by both teams, and you're coming out with a victory. And then obviously they go on and beat Texas in the Elite Eight. I just want to lead off with the Isaiah James experience. This tournament has just been unreal. I mean, talk about elite guard play. I'm going to read her stat line for the first four games here, right? 19 points against Chattanooga. I believe like almost all of those were in the second half. Tennessee, 22 points, 7 assists. Stanford, 29 points, 5 assists. 25 of those points were in the second half. And then 27 points against Texas, 6 rebounds and 4 assists. She shot at least 45% from the field and above 50% in 3 of those matchups, and hit a total of maybe 16 threes across those four games. So truly, truly elite play from Isaiah James, who, I mean, at this point you have to put her in the same category, in my opinion, as guards like Juju Watkins from USC, a Paige Beckers from UConn, Caitlin Clark from Iowa, you know, fellow Elite Eight guards who, hey, it's truly elite scorers, doing so much for their team in so many ways. And heck, NC State's going to the Final Four for the first time since 1998. Just thrilling stuff. Noah, from what you got to see just from, you know, the tournament run, I know we've been kind of in our respective bubbles covering both of these teams. But any big takeaways you've seen from covering this tournament run so far?
I think it's this matter of Isaiah James has proved that she is that player. I mean, I think she proved it. And I didn't really get to watch much of Stanford because, you know, the NCAA did a great job in scheduling two games at the same time. But saw a little bit of the game yesterday ahead of NC State men's game. But I think that she's proved that she's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, River Baldwin said it after the game. She was like, you can see it. She is that girl, and she is 100% right. The Texas game, I mean, you come in, they've been underdogs for, you know, their past two games, won them both, obviously. And against Texas, it was a concern of scoring points. The Longhorns had held Gonzaga to 46 points in the Sweet 16. NC State almost equaled that total in the first half. And Azaya was a huge reason why. She hit 7 of 10 shots in the first half. And it's a matter of, I mean, at this point, I think the whole team recognizes that she's hot. So just keep feeding her. Against Stanford, Wes Moore said they were at one point just drawing up every single play. Every time they went down the court, the play was drawn up for Azaya to get a good look. And that's what you have to do. It's one of those runs where, you know, one player catches fire at the right time and all of a sudden you're going to a Final Four. This time for NC State, it was Azaya. I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone else against South Carolina on Friday. The Wolfpack will have to play undefeated South Carolina in Cleveland in the national semifinal at a time to be determined pending tonight's other Elite Eight games. But, holy crap, man. What a run by them as well. They're playing exceptional basketball on both ends of the court. They're shooting it extremely well from three, which they knocked down 9 of 18 threes against Texas, which is, you know, great. It also carries the subtext of this all happened with two different three-point lines in Portland. I'm sure if you watch these games, you saw the storylines here, but based on what we gathered from the post-game press conferences, it sounds like the bench across the three-point line across from Texas's bench was the correct one, and the one in front of NC State's bench was about a foot short. Azaya James basically said, like, it doesn't really matter. Wes Moore said he quipped after the game that they don't shoot near the three-point line anyways. He wants them to shoot closer to the three-point line every day, but they don't. So he said that didn't really matter. Both coaches were informed of the issue before the game, and Wes Moore was like passionately like, yeah, no, let's play this thing. Vic Schaefer from Texas, I think, was a little more hesitant. But from talking to Wes, it sounds like he was more concerned with the idea of the team having to sit for, you know, an hour plus. And then having to hit the court cold rather than, you know, just deal with the uneven three-point lines. And I will say I didn't notice it in the Sweet 16, Noah, but once it was brought to my attention, you look on TV and it was obvious. It was really obvious that the arc on the left side of your TV screen was a lot smaller than the other one. And, you know, credit to the Pack for not really letting that phase them. It took them out of their usual pregame routine. Coach Moore said that he was a little late to getting where he needed to be pregame because they had to have those meetings. But it's just another example of this team fighting through adversity. I think the most impressive thing, Noah, so far is that they're building these leads and then maintaining them throughout. And the other teams will make a run, which we saw a couple times in the regular season. And then, it, of course, the one that sticks out is Notre Dame in the ACC championship. Of the Pack didn't really have a counterpunch for when a team made its big third quarter or fourth quarter run. They've handled those situations flawlessly. They're hitting big shots when it really, really matters. Madison Hayes hit a huge three against Stanford. Mimi Collins hit a couple against Texas. And Isaiah James, she's just been excellent, as we've mentioned before. So past two games, the story's really been, can't really stay in front of NC State's guards. I mean, very few teams can. And it's leading to a lot of open looks, a lot of opportunities, and they're locking down defensively. So what a run by them. The celebration after was very, very cool. The players were chanting from unranked to the Final Four because obviously they were not ranked in the preseason AP poll. Noah, I mean, you've obviously been, you know, glued to the men's basketball beat, but we covered the second game of the season together at Reynolds. The win over UConn, where another game where they were doubted. I don't think anyone expected them to win that game except the folks in Reynolds Coliseum. How fun has it been to just, you know, follow this team's journey and just see where they started as the preseason number eight team in the ACC to the postseason Final Four team? Just what has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, I think it's really neat because when you look at it, it's like you can even talk about the men in this scenario too. They're very similar stories. Mm-hmm. In fact, the women, you know, picked where they were in the ACC, and the men were picked at a similar spot and both win it. But, you know, when you look at the women, they expected to be in this spot. Like,
yeah,
the way that Westmore runs his program, they expect to be mm-hmm. playing in the Elite Eight, playing for a Final Four, and they be able to, you know, get over the hump. And I think that is really, really good for what this program is building. And yeah, we talked about that UConn game. That one was like, oh, NC State's here to play. Like, they were down, you know, I think eight in that game, came back and won, you know, pretty handily down the stretch mm-hmm. against a good UConn team before UConn, you know, got its injuries. But heck, UConn's playing for a trip to the Final Four tonight too. So you can't really say, well, UConn was, you know, missing players. Well, they're missing more players than now than they were then, and they're still really playing good for a Final Four. So, you know, they did not get beat by, you know, Paige Becker's obviously one of the best players in women's mm-hmm. college basketball. And they played pretty well against her. So NC State has proved that it could do it, I think, in game two. And I don't know if the team thinks this, but, you know, I think that win may have helped them because then, you know, you beat the number two team in the country at the time. They went down to the, you know, Caribbean and beat the number three team in the country at the time in Colorado just a couple weeks later. And it really proved that this team could play. And obviously a 14-0 start helps in that too. But heck, NC State proved it could do it. It's finally done it. And now it's got a big, big test in South Carolina. Dawn Staley, the program that's been the standard, you know, yep. the past couple of years in women's college basketball. That's what NC State wants to be. And now if they want to be that, they have an opportunity to prove it and beat Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks. And I'm sure we'll talk about it later in the week, but it's going to be really, really fun, exciting. And people don't fret if you can't make it to Cleveland, because this game will be played in Charlotte next year too. So
yeah, I mean, heck, you can have it's potential. Like, you can have what, two South Carolina NC State games in the next five NC State basketball games or something like that. So that's really exciting. That Ally tip off event in Charlotte will be great next year. But before we get there, it will be a thrilling Final Four matchup. Another matchup against a former team. I feel like I've been like writing stories about that exact storyline just all season long. You know, of course, like Mimi Collins playing and playing Tennessee and stuff. And now Sny Rivers playing her former team, the team she won a national championship with as a freshman. Great storyline there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be a lot of fun to follow along with that game. Noah, did you know NC State's undefeated against top five teams this year?
Against they have a chance teams, to do it again.
They have not lost. So they're playing, you know, top overall team of the country, undefeated. Haven't lost a regular season game in a long time. Obviously, their last loss was last year in the tournament. But it's going to be very, very exciting. I am super, super thrilled to be covering that run. I did want to, before we get out of here, wanted to mention Wes Moore. What a moment for him personally. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He'll be in, NC State's Hall of Fame. He'll be in the College Basketball Hall of Fame as well. I don't think that there's much doubt about that, as he has 800 career wins. I think you could always tell that the double overtime loss to UConn ate at him consistently over the past couple years. I think he really cared about getting over that hump. And you could just see like the pure just joy in his face yesterday. I talked to Zoe Brooks's father last night, and he was saying that Wes was just walking around wearing the Elite Eight net from the arena in Portland around his neck, walking around. I went to the celebrations last night when both teams got back. The women's team got back around 3 a.m. Still a big crowd of Wolfpack fans. And the moment Wes got off the bus, he was swarmed for autographs and pictures. And he stood there and signed every one of them and took a bunch of photos with folks. Took time to talk to the fans. And the players did too. They stuck around to have those conversations. So you could tell this means a lot to him. Obviously worked with Kay Yao, and now he gets to do something that only Coach Yao had done in Raleigh. And now the Pack has a chance to, just keep making history, keep, entering uncharted territory, but nothing's really uncharted for this team because they've been through it all. So, don't doubt the Pack. I think if you can take away one lesson from this show, it's do not doubt the Pack. It is a fun time to be an NC State fan. It is a fun time to be an NC State reporter, as Noah and I can certainly vouch for. And we're really looking forward to continuing to cover these runs going forward. So looking ahead, we'll have a preview episode up later this week. We'll dive into both of these matchups. We're both traveling to the Final Four, which is very exciting. We're both thrilled to be, Noah will be in Phoenix. I will be in Cleveland, and we'll, have full coverage from that. We're going to keep telling stories that hopefully are a little bit unique, stuff you won't be able to find anywhere else. So go check it out on thewolfpacker.com. And we're going to be there to cover it all. And it's going to be super, super exciting. All right. Thank you all for watching today. On behalf of Noah and I, we really appreciate you, sticking with us throughout this tournament run. We're excited to cover the rest of it. And we'll see you all, I believe, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. Probably we'll have the preview episode up. And we'll talk to you all then. So have a good one. And we'll see you soon.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.